Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. As you sit down, you can turn to your neighbor and say, it's a new day. It's a new day. You know, just like David, there's many lessons that we can learn from looking at his life. David is a life that we can take many things from. Many things of how he acted, how he responded, and how he lived. You know, just like David, I think for us, many of the times, our life doesn't always work out exactly how we planned it, exactly how we wrote it down, exactly how we dreamt it. Sometimes life has a way of taking us in directions that we weren't expecting, bringing certain people into our lives that we weren't expecting. But yet many times we're able to look at David's life and look at the lives of those around us and learn lessons about how we handle and how we live in those situations. I think about my life. When I was 14 years old and I used to sit on the rocks overlooking Scarborough Beach, every day saying to myself, there's got to be something more to life than what I'm experiencing. I didn't know my life was going to turn out the way it did today. When I was 16 years old, and I moved to London for the first time. Concrete jungle, where dreams are made of, right? I know that's New York, but it feels like London too. You know, I didn't know my life was going to turn out this way. When I was 26 years old, and I was wrestling with God as to why I'd been told that me and my family couldn't have children, I didn't know my life was going to turn out this way. When I was 30 years old, and I was in London and I was growing dissatisfied with the way things were going. I didn't know that my life was going to look like this in Manchester. But yet, from the very beginning, God has been faithful to my life. From the very beginning, from the very moment you were born, God has been with you, watching over you, walking with you. And you see that sometimes in life, when we go through hard seasons, God has to remind us that I am with you. God has to remind us that he is our strength, that he is the one who brings us to the place we've come to, and he'll take us to the place that we're going. God has to remind us that he is good and that he is faithful. And in the words of that song, he has to remind us that our God is great, that our God is amazing, that he is able to bring you to and through any situation you ever face. But sometimes we need reminding. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's goodness, reminded of God's faithfulness. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 8 and 9, God brought a man by the name of Nathan to remind David of what I just said. In 2 Samuel 7, 8 and 9, it says this, "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth." You see, the situation David found himself in was a situation that wasn't his own doing. You see, that sometimes we find ourselves in seasons and times of our life, but it wasn't because of bad choices, it was because of good choices. You see, sometimes you find things hard, not because you've done something wrong, but because you're doing everything right. And sometimes your right decisions will bring you to hard places because the world isn't conditioned to deal with right choices. They're dealt with to condition to make you like them, to conform us. But sometimes when you make the choices that please God, when you make the choices that defy culture and defy the way people do things, you'll find yourself in tough places. But human nature, when you find yourself in a hard place, is to begin to beat yourself up. It's to begin to blame yourself. But sometimes situations are our fault, and sometimes situations are because you're doing the right thing. You see, sometimes we end up in places because we messed up, and sometimes we end up in places because people messed us up. Sometimes we're in places because we let ourselves down, and sometimes we're in places because people let us down. But the truth of the matter is, whatever brought you to the place you are today, success or setback, God is the author and perfecter of your life. That he is able to bring you through any situation. God reminded David, when you were in the shepherd's field at the beginning of your life, I was with you. when you were on the throne at the end of your life, I was with you. When you were facing Goliath, guess what? I was with you. When you were in the cave and you didn't know where to turn, I was with you. God reminded David, no matter the season, the circumstance, or the time, David, I'm with you. God reminds us this morning that he is with us, that he is for us. And the Bible says, when God is for us, no man can be against us. Even in Victory Outreach Manchester, we have experienced God's faithfulness and God's goodness right here in this ministry. In a little room down there in the city centre, Sugden Sports Centre, 15 years ago, God began changing lives right here in Victory Outreach Manchester. In 2004, in the Novotel, God continued to change lives, to turn situations around, to restore hope, to restore families, to raise people up that never should have been raised up, to call people that never should have been called, but yet God chose people. In 2006, in the Palace Hotel right there down on Oxford Street, God began to call people in that place. In 2008, 10 years ago, we came into this building, and for the last 10 years, God has been calling people and changing people and transforming people and raising people up in the ministry, in business, in sports, in any arena of our nation. God has been raising people up. And just 2 weeks ago, in Maxwell Hall, Salford University, God was with us when we went in there and said that we are moving into a more spacious place. God is faithful beginning to end. But the challenge in everything we face, on the throne or in the shepherd's field, in the cave or facing Goliath, is to remember that God is good. That God is good in our lives. That God is good with his promises. That God is good when you have exams due. God is good when you have relationships that are struggling. God is good. I remember from my own life, the first time I ever testified in church in 1999, I didn't know what I was going to say. I don't know what I said. And to this day, I still don't know what I said. But God was with me. In 2000, when I was just 17 years old, I said, if I'm coming to church, I want to make a difference. And I just began to serve. I joined the ushers ministry. God was with me. In the sound, when I joined the sound ministry, God needed to be with me. When I was caretaking in 2003, I'd get up at 6 a.m. and just come and open the building and then close it at about 11 p.m., 7 days a week. There wasn't any rotas. The rota was James, 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 and James. And yet God was with me. When I took over the youth ministry in 2004 and the new gen, God was with me. When I joined the choir in 2005, I don't think God was with me. But you know what? You do some things in life and you try it out. But that's where I met my wife, so I know God was with me. Your music ministry just grew. But we come to this portion of David's life. And like I mentioned, many times it's doing the right thing that gets you enemies. Many times it's doing the right thing that gets you opposition. You see, there's probably nothing harder in life than doing all the right things and still ending up in a hard place. There's probably nothing worse in life than trying to please everybody and then the only person you fail is yourself. You see, sometimes you end up in situations where it may be your fault, it may be someone else's, usually it's both, but yet we have to keep God in sight in everything we go through. In 1 Samuel 15, we get a great glimpse of how the enemy tries to work in our lives. You see, Saul was king, or so he still held the position of king. But just a few chapters earlier, God had rejected Saul as king. And yet he was still chasing down David. He was still hunting David. He was still trying to scare and intimidate David. You see, David was going to be king. Saul still had the position of king, and they came face to face. And that is many times a way that the enemy tries to work in our life, is that he tries to fight for something that no longer belongs to him. He tries to lay claim to something that he no longer has authority over. You see, many times he'll scream, he'll whisper sweet nothings, he'll scream, he'll make noise, he'll intimidate, he'll run, he'll challenge, he'll do all of these things, but the bottom line truth is that the enemy no longer has the authority to keep what he used to have. Saul wanted to take the throne off David, but he didn't have the authority to do it anymore. I want to ask you today, what has the enemy been trying to take off you? What is it that he's trying to get you to give over, even though he doesn't have the authority to keep it? You see, sometimes we come to a place in life where we're tempted to give over something that he no longer has the rights to. You see, your peace doesn't belong to him. Your peace belongs to God. Your joy belongs to God. Your family belongs to God. Your hope belongs to God. Your promises belong to God. But so many times, even though he doesn't have the authority to claim it, he will come in the hope that you will give it over to him. And in the cave, in the wilderness, sometimes the thing that we want to do is just give up on the things that God has promised us. And I believe recently in Victory Outreach Manchester and in the body, there has been a challenge where people have been challenged in ways where they are tempted to give over their promises. But I want to let you know today, if God has given you a promise, if God has given you a word, if God has shown you something, don't give it over. Stay faithful, stay consistent, stay in that place that brought you to where you are today, and let God do something new in your life. All he's got is the hope that you will give up. All he's got is the hope that you will quit. All he's got is the hope that you will turn to the left or to the right. That's all he's got, because the authority was taken from Saul, just like it was taken from our enemy on the cross. Jesus took it back. You see, what I love about this portion of scripture right here is that when you look at the setting of where it happened, there's a great lesson we can learn. You see, David came face to face with his biggest battle. David came face to face with his toughest season. David came face to face with one of his most difficult times, and it says that right outside his battle was the sheep pen. I'm just going to break this down for a moment. The sheep pen is the shepherd's field. The shepherd's field is where David used to serve. At the point of your biggest battle, there's always going to be something familiar that tries to take you back to where you used to be. Can I say that again? Because it's something we need to catch. Right at the point of your biggest battle, there will be something familiar that tries to take you back to where you used to be. The thing about that, though, is this. Don't just think about it like, well, I was never this and I was never that. David served God in the shepherd's field. See, sometimes when God's trying to bring you into a new season, there's going to be something that tries to keep you in the old season. An old mentality, an old response, an old attitude. But David understood that if he kept his eyes focused on what God was doing in his battle, if he kept his eyes focused on what God was doing in his midst, there was nothing for him to go back to. You see, everyone has what I would call a default mode. That when things get hard, you default to how you used to do things. Some people default to spending money. Some people default to anger. Some people default to hiding. But whatever that default mode is, you got to know that you're not going back to what God brought you from. You're going forward into what God is taking you into. A new season, a new time, new promises for your children, new promises for your business, new promises for your future. But right there at the point of your biggest battle will be something that wants to take you back to where you used to be. But God is doing a new thing. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new time for your life and my life. You see, at the time of the biggest battle, we can say things like, I'm not strong enough. I don't know enough. I've not been around long enough. I'm too weak. I said it this morning and I'll say it again. When it comes to serving God, it's not about being too weak. The only people that don't serve God are the people that are not weak enough. You say it again, you got to be weak sometimes. You got to be humble. You got to know that, you know what, you can't do it all yourself. Our life teaches us, even if God didn't teach us, life teaches us that you can do everything possible and yet still end up without the things that you want. Sometimes we've just got to humble ourselves and let God do what it is that he wants to do. See, David, the scripture says, was in a place called En-Gedi. En-Gedi is something that if you read it 1,000 times, you'd probably just go over it 1,000 times. But En-Gedi represented something for you and I today. En-Gedi was a place that David had been through the wilderness for a long time. The wilderness that David had been in was a dry place. It was a dangerous place. It was a rocky place. It was a lonely place. You can say amen if any of these things are familiar for you. It was a place where you didn't know where the next breakthrough was coming from, the next opportunity, the next promotion, the next anything. He had been in the wilderness for a long time. He'd been facing battles by himself, but it says that he situated himself and established himself in a place called En-Gedi. En-Gedi was the one place in that whole wilderness that had streams of water flowing through it. En-Gedi was the one place in that whole wilderness that had streams of water that people could get resource from. You see, in the dry place, in the hard place, in the battles, in the long seasons, in all of these things, there is always a place where you can go to and receive refreshing. There is always a place you can go to and receive strength. One person described En-Gedi as this. He said, it's an oasis that bursts upon you from one of the driest and most poisoned regions of our planet. In the hard times, God makes provision for your life. In the hard, dry, difficult moments, God's presence makes provision for you. And the reality is this, bigger than church, bigger than your brothers or sisters, it is your relationship with God that will not only keep you in this season, but will take you into your next season. It is your intimacy with Jesus. My friend, I can tell you now, you're in a church that will encourage you. You're in a church that will lift you up. You're in a church that will pick you up. You're in a church that won't judge you. But my friend, in the midst of all of that, it is only the presence of Jesus in your life that will bring you through certain seasons. You can't wait for someone to pat you on the back. You can't wait for someone to say sorry. You can't wait for someone to say, I never meant it. You can't wait for someone to say, you're good at this. You can't wait for someone to say, you know what, I see this in you. Sometimes you've got to get to En-Gedi, the place of refreshing. Get a hold of God's presence and say, God, it's been dry, it's been difficult, it's been hard, but your presence sustains me in the midst of every battle. If you don't learn how to hear God's voice, if you don't learn how to get a hold of his presence, you might get your promise, but you'll miss your blessing. You might get out of your season, but there's just going to be another season waiting for you. We have to learn how to tap into God's presence. And not only that, but this place, En-Gedi, was about 1,000 feet below sea level. That was the reason why there were springs of water that flowed. And what that teaches us is that any time God wants to do something in our life, he always starts with the heart. He always starts with the unseen. You see, I said it this morning, I say it again, you can come to church and those doors are the most anointed part of our church because we can be one person outside the doors. As soon as you walk through those doors, man, the anointing hits because we can put the church show on. We know the angles that our hands should go for the praise song and for the worship song. We know the words off by heart. We know the next song that's coming. We know this and we know that. But the truth is that God works on what people can't see. So you can show me, you can show Pastor, you can show all of these things, everything that looks good. But the truth is that your life is going to be judged by what God does on the inside. And God goes to work on the inside. He goes to work on our hearts. You see, what I love is it says that Saul chose 3,000 of his best men. You know, there's seasons and then there's seasons. There's hard times and then there's hard times. There's battles and then there's Goliath. There's difficulties and then there's difficulties. And yet it says that Saul chose his best men. You know, some seasons the enemy's released his best against you. Some seasons everything just seems to go wrong. Some seasons everything just seems to be hard. But it's in those seasons that there is a refreshing that is available. Jesus says, those who come to me will have rivers of everlasting life that will flow from them. We have to know how to get a hold of God. You see, there's some seasons we've been through. If it wasn't for the presence of God, you wouldn't have come through it. How many people can bear witness to that? If it wasn't for God's presence in your life, you wouldn't have made it through that season. But you know what's crazy is that stream represents God's presence. The Bible says that Moses went on the mountain. The mountain represents the presence of God. It says that Moses went on the mountain and he sought direction from God. It says, when he came back down from the mountain, he built something called the tabernacle. The tabernacle means the place where God dwells. You see, some of us are trying to build something for God, but we ain't been to the mountain yet. Some of us are trying to get breakthroughs of our children, but we ain't been praying for them like we should. Some of us are trying to pray for our marriage to be restored, but we ain't been on the mountain asking God, what is the blueprint for how I rescue my marriage? What is the blueprint for how I raise my kids? What is the blueprint for how I graduate university? What is the blueprint for how I do my ministry? What is the blueprint for how I launch my business? But in the desert place, you got to know that whatever you're trying to build for God, you need to have been to the mountain. Don't try and build for God if you ain't heard what he wants you to build. The mountaintop is the place where God gives us his instruction. There are some of us that are sitting on businesses. You've got to go to the mountaintop and that business is going to prosper. There's some of us that are believing for the salvation of our kids. Go to the mountaintop and your kids are going to see salvation. There are some of us that are believing for a breakthrough in healing. Whatever it is, go to the mountaintop and you are going to see a breakthrough in your life. It's in the mountaintop. See, the one thing I love about this is that when you look at David's life, I'll take a few more moments. When you look at David's life, you can see in David something that you don't see necessarily see in anyone else in the Bible. You see, David is not someone, you don't need to imagine what he was thinking when he was going through it. You don't need to try and use some big creative mind to work out what David was facing when he was in the battle, because David wrote about it. David wrote about what he was facing. David wrote about what he was feeling. David learned to communicate. David learned to talk. David learned to write. David learned to express himself. And I said this morning that on a side note, that I think that if a lot of us learned to communicate, a lot of the problems wouldn't be there in our life. We have to be a people that learn to communicate effectively. In our relationships with God, we have to learn to communicate. One thing David had down to an art was he knew how to talk to God. He knew how to express himself. And in that cave, he penned a psalm. He wrote a song, a letter, an expression of what he was facing at that time. And he says this, and I've just picked out three verses. He says in Psalms 57, verse 1, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. The first thing David knew in that season was he reminded himself that seasons come and seasons go. That this season was going to pass. That the battles and the struggles and all of these things, he confessed and he spoke out before God that this season is not going to last forever. In Psalms 57, verse 2, he says, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Another version says, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. David knew that in every season he faced, God was able to work it out for his good. God was able to work out his promises in his life if he trusted in him and depended on him. In Psalms 57, verse 7, David says this, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. In the season that David faced, he took responsibility for his own life. And we have to be a people that no matter what has brought us to the place we're in, we have to take responsibility for what it is that we're in now, the place that we find ourselves. What I love about David is that he wasn't waiting for someone to come and rescue him. He said to his own soul, he said to his own emotions, he said to his own thoughts, awaken and see what God is doing. Awaken and see that God is able. David took responsibility. He fanned the flames in his life. You see, when you're in a hard place, we have to be a people that learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. To pray and get breakthroughs, to pray and trust God. You can't wait for someone else to strengthen you. Sometimes no one's going to come and strengthen you. You got to strengthen yourself in God's presence. Strengthen yourself in him. David took responsibility for his life. He was disciplined. He took ownership of where he was and he served God in a way that will bring him out of that place. Jesus speaks about it as picking up our cross, about not blaming. Not pointing fingers, but saying, okay, God, if this is where I am, what do I need to do to get out? Jesus speaks about it as picking up our cross. I'd hazard a guess that if we learnt to pick up our cross, we wouldn't have to pick up our mess. We have to learn to discipline ourselves, our tongue, our mind, our heart, and serve God in the season we're in. There's three areas, I'm going to take 2 minutes on each, that got tested in David's life in the cave. His loyalty got tested, his heart got tested, and his faith got tested. It says, I'm not going to read out all the verses because we're short on time. It says that Saul came into the cave and David cut off a corner of his robe. It says that he cut off a corner of his robe. And what that symbolized is that David was being disloyal to Saul. You see, the robe represented loyalty. The robe represented God's authority in that person's life. And when someone was loyal to someone, they would take a corner of a robe and hold onto it. Like the woman with the issue of blood. When she pushed through the crowd, what did she say? If I can just touch the corner of a garment, then I'm going to get the authority that he has. And so when David cut off the robe, he was saying, I no longer recognize your authority. You see, the thing that we learn from that is that what David was saying is that how you treat people reflects how you see God. And if you treat people right, it means that you see God right. You see, the Bible says, those who mock the poor show contempt for their maker. So how we speak about our brother and sister is how we speak about God. How we speak about a husband and wife is how we speak about God. Is that right? Was this a little bit too close to the bone? But how we treat people is really the biggest reflection of how we see God. That's one of the things that the church throughout history has been most guilty of, is not showing love to one another. See, but there's something that we can learn from this. If Saul had the robe which represented his authority, and David had a sword which was what he chose to do something with, Isaiah 61 verse 10 says this, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Just as Saul's robe represented his authority, God says that each and every one of my children have their own robe. That you and I walk around with that spiritual robe. But Proverbs 12, 18 says this, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. So just as Saul had a robe that represented authority, David had a sword which he used to cut away Saul's authority, you and I have a sword and a robe. And the question I pose to us today is, what are you doing with your sword? What are you doing with your tongue? You see, some of us, you know this whole craze with the ripped jeans thing, right? Even my son wants to get on it. He's got ripped jeans here, ripped jeans there. The truth is, some of us are walking around with ripped robes because we're cutting ourselves down. We're undermining our own authority. We're cutting other people's authority. But the truth is that we have to learn how to use our tongue. We have to learn that even in the midst of hard times, to praise God, to declare his goodness, to push past the battles. You see, when you have a sword in your hand, my question is, what do you do with that sword? Because it was what David did with the sword that brought him out of the cave. We need to come out of the cave, but to do it, we need to learn how to praise and worship and push through. David had to learn how to be a man of honor. The second thing is, David's heart was tested. When Saul walked before him, David heard Saul's voice, he heard his own voice, and he heard his friend's voice. But what David really needed to do was hear God's voice. Because there's always going to be opinions. There's always going to be people telling you what to do. But the question is, what is God saying? What is God doing? You see, the foundation of our lives, I'm going to say something that might sound controversial at first. The foundation of our lives is not prayer. The foundation of our life is not studying the word. The foundation of our life, the very thing which God builds on, is not fasting or giving. The foundation of our life is our heart. Prayer is one of the ingredients that goes to create the right heart. Giving is one of the ingredients that creates the right heart. But anytime God is doing and preparing you for something, he begins with the heart. And Saul came into that cave and didn't even know that David was there. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not the enemy that you need to master, it's yourself. You need to overcome yourself. You need to overcome your thinking. We need to overcome our choices and our responses. The enemy could have come into David's hand at any time. But God wasn't concerned about Saul. That was done. God was concerned about the man, David, who was going to take the throne. So he prepared him in the wilderness. He prepared him in the dry times. He prepared him in the challenges. God prepared David. His enemy didn't have a say anymore. It was David learning to master himself. And there's many of us that are busy managing what God has called us to master. Don't manage what you're called to master. Master your tongue. Master your responses. Master your business. Master your field. Don't manage it, master it. Let's stand to our feet, because when you master it, then God is able to perform his word in your life. And the last thing that was tested was David's faith. His loyalty, his heart, but the last thing that was tested was his faith. And I don't mean his faith as in, is God real? I don't think the biggest question that we get challenged with as Christians is whether God's real or not. I think the biggest challenge to David's faith was, is God good? Because it's God's goodness that gets challenged in our life. When the things haven't happened that we wanted to see happen, is God good? When we face things that we didn't want to face, is God good? It is God's goodness that is challenged in our life. When our bodies are sick, do we still believe that God is good? When our children haven't come to serve the Lord yet, do we still believe that God is good? When we've given everything and got so little in return, do we still believe that God is good? David was tested in that season of whether he was still going to believe in God's goodness. But I declare to you today that God is good, that God is faithful. And no matter what season you have found yourself in, maybe your heart has been challenged. Maybe familiar things have come back up in your life. Maybe, just maybe, God's goodness has been challenged in your life. But I believe today is a new day. I believe that it was David's reactions and responses and choices that brought him out of that cave. And I want us all across this place to lift our hands for the next few moments. And we're going to worship him. And we're going to declare God's goodness. We're going to declare that God is great. Maybe, just maybe, your situation isn't great. Maybe your situation hasn't been good. But we will declare God's goodness in the midst of it. So as the worship team leaders, let's lift our hands and declare the goodness of God in his house. Let's worship him as the worship team leaders.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.